So just while the children are going out, I wanted to, I said to Phil, have you organised anyone to pray for Johnny? No, he hadn't. So I said, well, I would like to. I've known Johnny a long while, I think 13 years.
Is it as long as
yes. And, you know, in that time, I can't recall her ever saying a mean or unkind word about anybody. I certainly have, but I don't remember Johnny. She's one of those lovely, amazing people that I'm so lucky to know, and I'm so lucky she works with me because she brings grace to my business. So thank you for that, Johnny. So I'm going to pray for her. I know, Father, we know that Johnny has some great words to share with us today. The words that she's going to share have come from you. You've prompted her to say the words. And Father, I pray that everyone here has an open mind and an open heart to hear the word and to think about the words that she's saying. And Father, I bless Johnny and I hope that she enjoys her talk, because enjoyment is the main thing. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. What we're going to start off with, we're going to talk about John the Beloved, and that's identity in love. And we're going to focus on three main points. One, transformation, and we're going to put the emphasis on the formation side of that word. Two, faith and knowledge that Jesus loves us. And three, freedom from bondage. Right, so I'm going to go on to just do the next look. Isn't that cute? That's John and Jesus together. You can see the closeness of the two of them. Now, the book of John is the first book of the Bible that I read. I was given this when I joined River Church about 5 years ago, and I read this from cover to cover on holiday in Portugal. That was my holiday reading. And I can honestly say, for a first book to read of the Bible all the way through, I would strongly recommend it to anybody who isn't familiar with the Bible. So it starts off not with the birth of Jesus, but with the birth of the world. And it's interesting that when Paul was talking earlier, he was talking about this very thing. So I was saying, oh, that's good. He's saying that, and I'm going to be talking about that. That's good. So he talks about the birth of the world, expressing Christ as logos, which means word. A word is expressed from one person and affects the other. So Jesus is a communication of God to us. And John brings us a deeper meaning and a revelation of Jesus' identity, something we all need to know. So if you can put the next. Okay. So we're going to talk about transformation. So if we just look into John a bit more, a bit further. And when he came to know Jesus, he was a fisherman, catching and retailing, and he had connections in Jerusalem, which also included a retail business by selling fish, and he also caught fish in Galilee. So he was familiar with the rural north and the urban south, a city of Jerusalem, a man of two worlds. He was also believed to be the youngest of the disciples, but one of the oldest to live to the oldest age. So he wrote this gospel as an old man, looking upon his life as a young man with Jesus through the lens of the wisdom of age. And it sheds a beautiful light on the life of Jesus' ministry. And he was in Jesus's sort of inner circle of friends, along with Peter and James. And he refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. John's character, to begin with, he comes across as a bit brash and intolerant young man. But Jesus sees a potential in this fisherman. And at some point, a transformation in him starts to happen. John witnesses Jesus' transfiguration upon the mountain, and that must have been quite a sight to see. And God announces quite all through the land over him, "This is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." And it's followed by, "Listen to him. Listen to him." That must have been, had such a profound effect on John. And so a transformation from a son of thunder, who Colin was talking about a couple of weeks ago, sons of thunder, to the beloved disciple takes place. So beloved that Jesus at the cross entrusts looking after his mother to John, which you have to have a lot of trust for somebody to do that. Now, let's talk about transformation. Okay, so trans means across, beyond, and formation means change in condition, nature, or character. John followed Jesus closely. He left his fishing nets to follow him. He did as Jesus told him to do. Despite his failures, he was malleable and accepting of change. In the Bible, there is it's absolutely full of transformations. We've got David from shepherd boy to king. Gideon from the weakest of the clan to a mighty warrior. Paul, the persecutor of Christians, to the bringing of the Christian message to the nations. What an amazing transformation that is. And that's all God's idea, God's plan. Now, I just want to talk a bit about my own transformation. Okay, so I'm dyslexic. I get things the wrong way round. I once called a watchdog dog watch, and I've never lived that one down. And so I as a kid, I could hardly read. I mean, I've got to be honest, out loud, the words would just like mingle into each other and there would be words that would disappear completely. And so I can remember so vividly at GCSE, so we were the guinea pigs for the GCSE from the O-level. We had a book called I'm the King of the Castle by Susan Hill. I don't want to recommend it to you. It's highly depressing. I think the Book of John would be something more interesting for young people to discuss. And I was so, I mean, I really could not read at all. People were just wishing me to end. The teacher was wishing me to end. And now the contrast is that I can read. I can. Those fears and the dyslexia aren't the things that define me. They're not my identity anymore. So much so that there's a radio show, and it's called Faith Matters, and I go on Faith Matters one Tuesday a month with Sheila. Okay, this is a plug, but hey, I'm talking, I can say what I like. Until Paul takes the microphone off me. So we do this Faith Matters, which is from 9 o'clock. Please do listen in. We have a lot of fun together, and we have some fantastic people and guests join us as well. But I really look forward to, towards the end of the program, when I was going to say when people are going to bed, but actually it plays again on a Sunday, so people may be just waking up. I look forward to reading a passage from the Bible or something that's been inspired by God. Now, that's just such a contrast to the way I was as a kid. So I just thank God for that transformation in me. And John refers to himself as the disciple who Jesus loves. Now, that may be quite a bold proclamation, but he doesn't say his name. He just points to the fact that Jesus loves him. And I've come to think that that confidence that Jesus loves him, a basically flawed man, an imperfect man, can give hope to us all. And when I read the word whom Jesus loves, you just got to insert your name there, basically, because he loves you too. And so we go to the next clip, or the next faith that Jesus loves us. And this is a great piece of scripture. It says from John 15:12, my commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. If you could just pop the picture on. Come sex. Ha ha. Right, so this is me in Malawi. This was when we went out with Lynx International with Andy and Lina Reed. Which one am I? Yeah, spot. spot the one that looks different to the others. We had a fantastic time out there. We were really blessed. This was actually at Hope Missions, which is near Lilongwe. And this was my my class, as it were, the people that I was teaching, helping teach with Lina. And they were just such wonderful people. There's immense poverty, but there's also, they just have joy in their hearts. They're full of laughter and great sense of humour, even through all of that that they're going through. So it's amazing teaching there from them rather than from me. I just want to talk about a moment when I really felt God's love. I went to a Sunday meeting with Andy. He was talking. And we went to this church in one of the projects. It's at Vivitech. And when we walked in, basically this church, it looked like a glorified shed. It was made out of timber, but Lord knows how it was all held together, because it was bits of wood here, bits of wood there, nails sticking out everywhere. If that had been built here, health and safety would have had an absolute field day. But there was something of the Holy Spirit in that place as we walked in. And if you think this is a long meeting, in Africa, it goes on and on. So before we even arrived, they'd had an hour of Bible study. Now, we arrived, we made a grand entrance into this place through the middle of the congregation. And at that point, I realized that I hadn't actually got the hang of my wraparound skirt, and it was slowly unraveling. So I was constantly having to readjust this skirt as we were walking through, and we walked right to the front. So we were a real focal point on, well, it could be considered a stool. I think it was just three planks of wood. Stable, it was not. So we all sat down on this long, Andy, myself, there's five of us, and it was kind of wobbling like this on the ground, which was uneven. And I wasn't expecting to get an immense hit by the Holy Spirit or anything. Was I surprised? This man started praying. So first of all, it was Sydney. Bless Sydney. He's a wonderful man. He's a real spiritual father to the people at Vivitech in every way. And he was talking, they introduced this man, started praying, and it was in the dialect from Malawi. I don't know what it is, but I couldn't understand a word he was saying. But I will tell you this, I got this real feeling of God's love in my heart, despite everything. So every time I felt a bit of love, I'd say, yeah, but what about the unforgiveness in my heart? What about the temptations that have got the better of me? What about the last time I lost my temper? What about the things I've promised and I haven't accomplished? And every time he says, I love you, I love you, I love you. And as I reveal these iniquities and they come up to the surface, he forgives every single one. Now, some people might consider that to be confession. I'm going to call it surrender. Not to be judged by Jesus, but to be loved by Jesus. Now, I mean, that can be for all of us. We have to have a fresh, I think it's important that we all have a fresh revelation of that. It's not just when you first come to Christ. It's like a wave that comes all the time. We get revealed these things as we grow in our journey with Jesus. Now, we go back to John. And John was present at the most amazing times. He witnessed wonderful things in Jesus' ministry, but he didn't boast about that. Instead, he offers an intimate insight into Jesus himself. The book of John includes miracles that aren't documented in Mark, Matthew, or Luke, amongst others, the miracle of the water to wine at the wedding. And John refers to miracles not as miracles, but as signs. A sign is something that points to something beyond itself. And so he does with the I am statement. So now I'm going to show you a clip.
I'm young, I'm handsome, I'm fast, I'm pretty, and can't possibly be beat. I'm a poet, I'm a prophet. I'm the resurrector. I'm the savior of the boxing world. I am the greatest.
You know, there have been many throughout history that have claimed to be amazing in some way or another. And just like Muhammad Ali said, I am the greatest, many others have boasted about themselves, saying I am the smartest or I am the most powerful. But before any of these people had a claim to greatness, before any of them had a chance to boast about who they were or what they had done, there was the one person who simply said, I am. His statements of I am, his statements of who he was, were like no other. They pointed to himself, describing his very character and essence, and he is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the bread of life. He is the true vine. He is the light of the world. He is the good shepherd, he is the watcher of the sheep, and he is the resurrection and the life. He is the I Am.
I love that. The I Am statements. So, I am the living bread, followed the feeding of the 5,000. I am the light of the world, followed giving sight to the blind. I am the resurrection of life, was said after he brought Lazarus from the grave. I am the vine, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All throughout the Gospel of John, people are searching for an answer, something that satisfies. At the temple, people are exchanging goods for money, acquisition of worldly goods, obsessed with the location of the temple, and Jesus points to himself as the temple. Jesus offers us freedom. Freedom from attachments and bondage. So, we read from there. John 8:31. If you hold my teaching, you are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In chapter 8, the theme dominates a discussion between Jesus and his opponents. The word truth is the word for real in Hebrew and Greek languages. If we live in truth, we also live in reality. And now, what do we need freedom from in our lives? Freedom from slavery. What are the things that hold us, that dominate our thoughts? Is it having enough of something? Is it the need to please? Is it the need for attention? Temptations, fantasies? Jesus gives us freedom from all of those things. We no longer have to hold on to those. We no longer have to have them to have authority over us. If we live in truth, we will be set free. Live in truth, and so in reality. Now, I just want to speak to you today about that truth in reality, about those things that you may be feeling have got a hold on you. What are you giving power over to? What is helping, not helping you being the best that you could possibly be? Now, I'm going to say a prayer over you, and I'd just like you to close your eyes. It's a serenity prayer. It's a prayer that's actually said in AA meetings, but it's actually not written by AA. It's written by a theologian. God, give me grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed. Courage to change the things which should be changed. And wisdom to distinguish one from another. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship, as a pathway to peace, taking it as Jesus did. As this sinful world is, not as I would have it, but trusting that you will make all things right. If I surrender to your will, so that I will reasonably be happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Thank you very much, Johnny.